And really the Lord laid it on my spirit, and apparently he laid it upon the hearts of the people, because that tongues and the interpretation of tongues, that prophecy that was given this morning, really was about my sermon. It was just God giving you a sneak peek at what he was getting ready to do this morning. Amen? It's about becoming a lion chaser. And that's what I believe God wants us to be. Will you stand with me for the reading of God's word? I just want to read for you three verses of scripture from the 20th chapter, or the 23rd chapter of 2 Samuel, excuse me. Starting at the 20th verse, the word of God says, Benaiah was a son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He had also gone down and killed a man in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, and he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah the son of Jehoiada did, and won a name among three mighty men. He was more honored than the 30, but he did not attain to the first three, and David appointed him over his guard. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you this morning that you are the Lion of Judah. Lord, that you live in us and that we can in ourselves become lion chasers in these days. Lord, Benaiah was a mighty man of valor raised up amongst, Lord God, the 400 that came to David in the cave of Adullam. Lord, that cave was a place of hurting. It was a place of healing. But Lord God, it was a place of raising up and releasing out, Lord God, renovating lives and Lord, renovating your kingdom work. We thank you for all this as we go forth today as lion chasers. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. He killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. And I'm mindful of today. It may snow, but boy, what snow and ice we got this weekend. It is beautiful out there when you look at God's creation and it's all glistening like a palace of ice in the sun. He just shouts his glory from his creation. But many people look at the distressedness of it. Oh, it's cold. Oh, it's hard. Oh, the roads are slippery. Oh, the whatever. But in the midst of all that, God is showing off his glory, isn't he? And so we see this man called Benaiah, and he's an interesting figure in the scripture. He doesn't take up much of scripture, but the space he does take in scripture is impacting all the way through the ages, even today in your lives. So there's something here in his life I think we can learn. And I believe that David saw something in his life. That's why he lifted him up to the captain of the palace guard. That's why he was in charge. That's why out of 400 men, he was recognized. Out of 30 men, he was recognized. Out of three men, he was recognized and separated different. There was something different about Benaiah. Benaiah's father was a captain of the palace guard. Benaiah himself becomes captain of the palace guard. I think sometimes there's a generational blessing and giftedness that flows within people. I think the prayers of a mother and a father raise up sons and daughters in this kingdom. Some of us are natural, biological mothers and fathers. We have sons and daughters, but all of us are spiritual mothers and fathers, and we have the ability to have spiritual sons and daughters in the kingdom, and we need to raise them up and release them out to become the lion chasers that God has called them to be. So this mighty man of valor, it's interesting. There's so much that could be said about him, and I'm not even getting into the introduction yet, so this is the introduction to the introduction. You're supposed to laugh at that. Maybe not. It's okay. Benaiah, there are some things that were said about him. If we were to go back a few verses, we would see some things said about him. It's saying he is called that he is the one who is over the Kaiites. Try to enunciate that. And the Pelehites. These two groups of individuals, he is the man over them. And if you look at the Hebrew and you understand the Kahihites, the 3774 is that linear link in the Strong's Concordance, but here's what it means. It means an executioner or a life guardsman. He is the one in charge of the executioners and the life guardsmen of all in the palace. This is not just any ordinary man, Benaiah. This is an extraordinary man amongst extraordinary men. And I think there are some men and women today who have that same valor, that same exceptionalism to them. They are extraordinary in God's kingdom. Can I get a hand clap of praise to the Lord in the house today? The Pelehites. Those were the messengers. Those were the couriers for the king. Benaiah is not only an executioner, a lifeguardsman to the king and all of the other executioners, but he is the messenger. He is the courier. Who better to send with a message from the king but one who is capable in warfare in every way? And that is who Benaiah is. This is who he has become. That's who his father before him was. And David has hand-selected him to be the captain of his palace guard. The one who guards the king is Benaiah. And this man takes up just a few short verses in all of Scripture. But his life resonates throughout the ages to us today. There's so much that he did. The chapter begins with the outline of the Feast of David's most mighty warriors. He's celebrating them and he's identifying them. He's acknowledging them and he's awarding them. These are his men of valor. We learn about three, really, Joash, Bahibish. He's the chief of the three who killed 800 men during one battle. He did it with a spear. 800 men. Eliezer, the one who refused to flee from the Philistines and slew, really, Philistine after Philistine in a patch of peas to the point where the sword froze to his hand. Another in that same patch was Shammah, who defended a patch of lentils and peas, it says, and God brought about a great victory over the Philistines through him. I don't know what it is about a man who has a sword in his hand with an army coming at him that stands in the midst of a garden and says, no further. But these are what these men are. And Benaiah stands head and shoulders above them. Selected. He's not of the 400 that went to the cave of Adullam. If you go back to 1 Samuel and look at the 20th chapter, you find about David fleeing from Saul and going to cave Adullam. He leaves Jerusalem and he goes to this cave Adullam. And it's interesting because the Word of God tells us some of the things that these people are, but it's not anything that we think. The Word of God actually calls them discontented, deaded, and distressed. 400 of Jerusalem's outcast, the distressed, the discontented, and the deaded, show up at the cave of Adullam. And it says David became captain over them. That means he taught them. David was skilled in warfare. David was a warrior before he was anything. He slayed a giant before he got off delivering pizzas to his brothers. David was that kind of a man who could raise up other valiant men and women of God. They come onto him as distressed, dead, and discontented, but they are released out as mighty men of valor. And we need to understand that no matter what battle you're in today, God has a destiny for your life. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. It goes beyond the deadness, the discontented, and all of these things that the world would throw at us. We become lion chasers of our own. He was separated, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He was separated. He was held in such great honor amongst the 30 and really amongst the 3 that he was separated out. David put him in charge of his own personal bodyguard. David desired the best guarding him personally and received it through Benaiah's faithful service. Benaiah was not included among the 3 because he was set off to the side. There was something different about this man. And I think today we need to recognize that difference. That difference is able to be in you and I still today. Greater honor than the 30. The 3 were part of the 30. He was really being honored above all the mighty men of valor. And today I believe God wants to honor you above all the mighty men and women of valor. I believe he wants to turn you into a lion chaser, one who is willing to jump into a pit on a snowy day and slay the lion. I don't know what kind of fight you're in, but I know the fights I've been in. And I know that they're formidable, the foes that this world will throw against you. But I also know that we have a God who is able to deliver us. I jump into the pit. I know God's there before I go. I get into that pit. I know my God is for me and not against me. I get into that pit and my God is able to deliver me. I don't jump into the pit with fear in my heart. I jump into the pit with faith, alive in the hope of Jesus Christ. So greater honor than the 30 was really what Benaiah was being honored for, but he struck down 2 of Moab's best. Benaiah knew that what it was to face the best in combat and win. It tells us that there were 2 men dressed like lions. Now, these are Moab's best. These are the formidable foe of the Israelites, the Moabites. And they send out their best 2 warriors dressed up like lions. And they come down there, and it doesn't intimidate Benaiah at all. And I don't understand why sometimes we get intimidated by what the world throws at us. I don't know about you, but I know what it's like to have a doctor look at you and say, well, your cancer is incurable. It's stage 4 and there's nothing we can do about it. So what? Say what you will. That is not the final prognosis because Jesus Christ rose with healing in his wings and I choose to believe by faith in what he can do, not what man says. And when that war starts, I'll tell you, the Moabites, they sent out 2. And just about the time doctor looks at you and says you got incurable, untreatable cancer, your finances start to fail because you've been paying the doctors and everybody else for the medicines and the treatments and all those things. And you think, wow, there's going to be a financial collapse. Can I even do this? Am I going to be destitute? Am I going to be debted? Am I going to be sitting in the cave of Adullam? One of the outcasts of God's people. And the answer is no. I'm not going to settle for that. I don't care if you send 1 Moabite dressed as a lion or 2 Moabites dressed as a lion. I don't care if you send a whole army dressed like lions up against me. There is a Lion of Judah that lives in me, and he will be the champion of the day. So the same fight happens in the same way. It doesn't matter how many are coming. What matters is the one lives in us. And greater is he who lives in us than lives in this world. And we are victors. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Israel's mortal enemy defeated them in combat time and time. They sent out their two best, and Israel sent out their one. And he took them both down. It's interesting because the scripture also says that he killed an Egyptian with his own spear. Don't come at me with your weapons of warfare. I'll use them against you. And that's what Benaiah's heart did before his hands ever did. His heart said, I fear not that weapon. I will use that very same thing. David looked at Goliath and said, you come at me with sword and spear, but I come at you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our weapon has not changed. And if that weapon is formidable, God can put it in my hands. David picked up Goliath's sword and cut off his very head with it. Our God is able to deliver us. Benaiah only needed really his might and his mind. That's all he really needed. God gave him all the rest. He was able to disarm and then defend himself against his enemies with their weapons of warfare. And God desires for the same for us today. So let's take a look at this going into the pit on the snowy day with the lion, because I think you're an idiot if you do it. Walk around the pit. Go anywhere but in the pit, you know? I mean, turn around, go away, do whatever, but not Benaiah. And there has to be a reason. And I'm not sure I have the answer to the reason. But there had to be a reason, because Benaiah was not a stupid man. He was not an ignorant man. You did not get to the captain of the palace guard, David's private assassin, the king, by being stupid. David was full of wisdom. He chose a man to guard him who was full of wisdom. This man, full of wisdom, well in understanding, capable in all ways, chose to jump into a pit on a snowy day with a lion. There had to be a reason. Do you understand the reason? No. Is there a problem in your life you do not understand? Do you know why? Do you need to know why? I'll tell you, the only reason that I can understand and I can surmise from the whole thing is for God to get the glory. Because today, Benaiah is showing the glory of God from having jumped into a pit on a snowy day with a lion. And still today, we talk about this man who God used. So whatever your battle is, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, it may just be for the glory of God. And is that not enough? So he gets in the pit. I'm telling you something about that pit and his choice to get in. There was one way in and there was only one way out. There was only one way into the pit and there's really only one way out of the pit. It's not like he had a trap door down there. It's not like there was an escalator up the other way. He was a mighty man of valor, this Benaiah. He knew what commitment was. And that's really what we're talking about. When we say there's only one way in and one way out, we're talking about commitment. And all of a sudden, that's what we understand. He saw the pit long before he plunged into it. I don't know how far before he saw that pit, but that pit would have opened up in front of him as he was walking or riding along on whatever landscape he was upon. He would have seen that pit. He would have heard the lion. He had time, I suppose, to reckon if he truly wanted to jump into the pit. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of thinking he's like, okay, let's see, lion. Woo! That thing is mean, nasty, and it's got a temper thing going on. It's probably hungry and cold. I mean, it's snow and ice. I'm not sure I want to get in that pit with that lion. I mean, let's just be honest with ourselves for just a moment. Now, if this was some scrawny, flea-bitten lion who had no health and no muscle mass and wasn't a formidable foe, why would they even write about it? I mean, Benaiah did many things already capable of recognition and notoriety. He didn't need to go fight a scrawny, flea-bitten, good-for-nothing lion. And there's problems in your life that might be scrawny, flea-bitten, good-for-nothing problems. And they're just a nuisance in life, like little gnats and little flies. But then there comes problems that are problems. And it's like, God, I don't see a way out of this. There's not a way out of that pit. It's all in or it's all out. There's no in between. It's a commitment thing. God takes away our choice. I didn't choose to have melanoma cancer. It showed up in my life without me wanting it. And we find ourselves in a pit. And we have to somehow make a commitment. Do we jump in or do we not? Here's the thing. You know, when you're looking in the pit and there's a lion, you can't halfway down stop. Who can do that? How are you doing it? Because once you commit, you're done. Once you commit, once you jump, you're in. You're not going anywhere. That's the only place you can end up. And some of us say, God, I'm all in. But halfway through, we're crying, oh, God, I can't do this. God says, wait a minute. I thought you were all in. There's only one way out, and that's for me to deliver you. And I'm not going to do it in your timeline. And I'm not going to do it probably in the way you think best. I'm going to do it in my timeline, in the way in which I see best. And can we get like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? My God who is able to deliver me, but if he does not, I will still trust in my God who is able to deliver me. Because it's a commitment thing. We have to be, you know, all in or all out. There's only one way in and one way out. Here's the essence of it. And you've got a hashtag. You do Twitter and you send out those little tweet things and go, tweet, 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 tweet. Do this one. Hashtag this one. Defeat takes a man's life. I don't care if you die literally, physically or not. If you're defeated in anything, the life goes out of you. Defeat takes a man's life. Victory marks a man for life. There is not a battle yet that I haven't gone through that I don't have a scar from. And that scar marks me for life. There is something different about Benaiah. He has been through battle after battle after battle. He has been trusted and he has shown the truth of his abilities. But he is marked for life as a man of God and a man of valor. And if God chooses to mark you with his scar, with his glory, with his showing of his ability, then we should receive that. Because the ultimate choice, on the other hand, is death. The defeated die. The victor becomes marked. Yes, I have never seen a man come out of battle, a woman come out of battle, that isn't marked for life in some ways. 20 years in the United States military, I've seen more than you probably think. And I've seen more than I probably want to think. But I'm here to tell you, each and every warrior that goes to battle is marked. Not all those marks are bad. God gets glory in much of it. God got the glory in Benaiah. Defeat takes a man's life. Victory marks a man for life. Hashtag that. So there's one way in and there's one way out. Okay, once we're all in, once we're in, we're all in. You can't be half willing to commit to the pit. When Benaiah committed to that pit, he committed his whole life. He committed everything he was. All that he had was committed to that pit and that lion. It's not like he said, okay, I'm just going to leave my left arm up here on the side. He took all of them in there. God was going to need all of that in there. Benaiah was going to need all of that in there. He was willing to sacrifice his life. I don't really understand this nonsense that we have about only being halfway connected or committed. Well, you know, I'll do that, but I'm just only going to do it here and there and some here. Really? What happened to a full commitment? Irregardless of the sacrifice. I don't get the nonsense of being half committed to anything. It's not who I am. And I guess if you will just burden me for a moment, I'd like to tell you that, you know, I made a half commitment when I was a young man. I was 16 years old when I was, you know, on the football team in high school and track. And, you know, I had the state record for the mile in track. I had a lot of things going on. I was a starting middle linebacker. They moved me to corner and safety, and I didn't like that. But, you know, hey, you know, the guys got big. I didn't. So, you know, and here you got all these things. I had all of my high school done except physical education. My sophomore year of high school, I had all my credits. All I needed to do was attend PE. I started going to college in the afternoons and evening because that's where my brother went, out at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. So I was like, well, I'll take the bus from school and I'll go out to school and I'll take some courses out there. And after my classes at 5 or 6 o'clock, I'd meet him in the library. He'd either drive me to my job or my girlfriend's house. And before you know it, after a year of doing that, call it burnout. I turned 18. I walked into the vice principal's office. I was the senior class vice president. Varsity football. Track. I walked in and I said, I'm dropping out. And he said, you can't do that. And I said, oh yeah, I just did. All I needed was to show up for PE, physical education. I made a poor decision early on in life to only be half in, to not be committed. I never graduated high school, and I chased that for the rest of my adult life. It was something that followed me wherever I went. Went into the military. I joined when I was 19. I retired when I was 40. I married my wife when I was 24. I'm still married to my wife 35 years later. I'm telling you, I learned something about being half committed. I'm fully in. I'm fully committed. I know the hurt and the woundedness, the scars and the marking from being half committed sometimes. And I'm fully in when I'm in. I've been retired from the military for 20 years, preaching the good news of Jesus Christ ever since then. It doesn't matter what God calls me to when He calls me. I'm all in, Lord. Sometimes it doesn't go easy. I mean, if you had to be married to me for 35 years, you'd think so too. That's why she said right. I overcame not having that high school diploma. I got a GED, my first tour in the United States military. I went back home and I looked at my guidance counselor. She looked at me, Barbara, oh, I love that lady. She said, Doug, we already issued your diploma. Didn't you see? I said, no, I never saw my diploma, really. She said, oh, yeah, you graduated. We just gave it to you, and it's in your file, and it's there. I said, well, I went and got my GED. I was thinking maybe you'd put it in my file for me. And then years later, I continue with college, and I get that degree, and I walk across that stage, and healing comes, and God honors a full commitment. Not a half-hearted, well, I think I might be into this education thing. So then I become the principal of a homeschool group that my four children attend. They find out how important education has come to their father and mother who teach them. Those four children, three of them are, well, two have got college degrees. The third one's working on his college degree. And I'm just believing that God's blessing them. But they found out that I was committed to being a lifelong learner. Because I'm not half in. I'm committed to being a husband to one for my whole life because I'm committed. I'm not half in. I'm committed to being a God-ordained, anointed minister and shepherd of His people because I'm not half in. I'm committed. And I think Benaiah had a loyalty. He had a commitment. When he jumped into the pit, he was all in. He didn't leave part of him out. So whatever pit you're facing today, whatever thing is facing your life, just understand if you jump in it, you got to be all in it. God will get you out of it. But you got to be all in. No second guessing his decision. There was no time to move forward or to the left or to the right. No. There was no way to turn. To turn was to die for Benaiah. If he turned his back, that lion would have consumed him. Doubt and fear would have came in as he was halfway going down if he allowed it. He needed to make up his mind before he ever jumped in that he was going to be all in. One way in, one way out. All in, once in. Here's the interesting thing that gets me in this passage of Scripture, and that's that no one was coming to the pit with them. I know I go through problems, and sometimes, you know, it's this problem, that problem. Isolation is a problem. We shouldn't be isolated in the body of Christ and the family of God. We shouldn't feel in our own families and our own communities isolated. But for some reason, Benaiah's in this pit and nobody came in with him. He's there all by himself. So whatever problem you're going through, if you think you're isolated, if you think you're the only one, just understand that that's most everybody. You're not the only one. That happens to us all. In one way or another. And you know, God's okay with it. So we just need to get okay with it. When Benaiah jumped into the pit, somebody was watching him jump into that pit. Remember, he was the captain over the king's guard, right? He was the messenger and the executioner. He was the courier. He was this lifeguardsman. He was the dude of dudes. And so he had dudes with him. And they were all bad, you know, in a good sort of way. I mean, these guys were formidable men. They were all numbered as men of valor. So there wasn't a one of them who was a wimp, skittish, and scared of a lion in a pit on a snowy day. But Benaiah jumped in by himself. I know there were other people there. Who wrote about it? Who told the story? Benaiah wasn't the kind of man who would have boasted. He didn't need to boast. David would never have promoted a man to the captain of his personal bodyguard if he was a boastful man. He promoted somebody who was humble in heart, contrite in spirit, just like David was. Because what you are is what you want around you. And so it just doesn't make sense that Benaiah's writing this story about himself. Somebody else saw what happened on that day, wrote the story. And so other people were looking. They talked about his exploits. Someone was standing watching the lion and Benaiah tangle. However, nobody jumped in and came alongside him. He went in. I guess I want to say this. Misery may love company, but valor often sends a lot of men fleeing, a lot of women fleeing. When you got to stand up for something, a lot of people sit down. When you got to dig your heels in and say no further, I don't know why this patch of peas is important, but right here is where I'm making my stand. On this garden, on this ground. But there are some of us who God is calling to be a little bit different like Benaiah. No one's coming into the pit alongside you. I'm just here to say that. If you're distressed, if you're discontented, if you're debted, whatever it may be, just understand that there were 400 that came to David, but right now there's one that's isolated in this pit. He was of that 400. But now he's isolated in a pit, and nobody's coming to his side. Nobody's coming to his help. Nobody's coming to his aid. And I know what that's like in the midst of cancer treatment, to all of a sudden, nobody knows what to say to the pastor when the guys say, when the doctors say it's incurable and untreatable. Nobody know what to say. I stand in the pulpit on Sunday with the congregation. But inevitably, Monday through Saturday, there's no contact. There's no interaction. And I think Benaiah had a whole army of men around him on this snowy day. In my mind, he's riding along on his horse and there's other guys and he jumps into the pit. And he's probably figuring, yo, come on. And they're all going, ah, good luck there, Benaiah. And sometimes that's the way we feel in the midst of our battles and our pits. Problem is, you know, you need to make a decision right here, right now, today. Will you flee before your enemy? Or will you face it and fight with faith? That was Benaiah's choice, and it's still our choice today. In the worst of conditions, he did this. And let's just quickly look at this as a last couple, well, four, one, two, three, four, 6 points with two sub-points each. It was the worst of conditions. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm in a pit on a snowy day with a lion, but you've never gone through this. You don't understand my problem. Really? You think you're the only one? That's Tigger. He's the only one. But we all face like similar problems. And the simple fact of the matter is, there were some things that happened on this day. So there were fierce winds. There were snow and ice. It was a snowy day. I mean, Mainers, we know what that's like. We just experienced that on Friday, didn't we? There was some snow and ice out there. Anybody go off the road sliding around? I talked to a couple of people who said, yep. Well, God bless you. It's kind of like going into a pit on a snowy day, except we call it a ditch. Sometimes it's fun. I mean, we can build snowmen and forts, and we can have outdoor activities, go skiing and hiking and those kinds of things, have hot chocolate, coffee by the fire. I mean, those things are fun. But that's not the case for Benaiah. He's in survival mode. I mean, that's the only thing I can understand here. Why does a man jump into a pit with a lion on a snowy day other than he has to survive? Something going on. And he's got to survive. Why fight a lion when you don't need to? I mean, if I'm riding on my horsey and I see this lion in a pit, it's not woe, it's go. Am I the only one? I don't think so. I think many of us would do the same thing, right? But not Benaiah. He dismounts, gets off that thing. All the other guys are like, what is he doing? Right? He needed to fight the lion. I don't know if it was something he wanted to prove to himself, prove to the others. I don't know if it was that the lion was in the way and they couldn't pass without fighting this lion. I don't know if it was hunger and starvation because him and his men needed that meat. I don't know what it was, but I know he was in survival mode. And I know when we get in the midst of our problem and it starts to come at us in a lot of ways that we think we're in the worst of conditions, in the worst of times, and everything is woe me. But I think that's just when God's getting ready to show up. You know, simply going past, whatever the reason, him stopping, simply going past wasn't the option. And simply not having the problem often is not our option. It's just not our option. How many times do we want life's problems to simply pass us by? But that's not the option. It's not really ours. God, I didn't ask for this. You're right. It wasn't your option. We must go through the pit to get past the storm that's in our lives. So we know that it was a snowy day. There were fierce winds, snow and ice. But there was a fierce battle conditions going on. I'm sure Benaiah, being the captain to the guard of the king, all the executioners, all the lifeguardsmen, all the couriers and the messengers, this dude was the dude of dudes. I'm sure he had access to the best weapons, the best horses, the best food, the best clothes. I'm sure him and his guys had it pretty well off. Right? Don't you think? I mean, if we put it into modern vernacular, this is SEAL Team 6. Those guys are formidable. SEAL Team 6, they got access to any kind of weapon. Weapons we could only imagine. I mean, my gosh, golly gee. These guys are it. So they all of a sudden, you know, we just see this. None of that seems to be mentioned in the scripture, though. I mean, we understand that what he's facing is a fierce battle in fierce battle conditions. Snow and ice causing his footing to be precarious at best. Cold wind biting into his face, blowing snow, blinding his sight. Benaiah is doing battle in a hopeless situation. And many of us feel like we're in a hopeless situation doing battle. That somehow we're blinded from what we see. We're frozen from action. We're in every way slipping and sliding around. We don't know what we're doing. We're fumbling and stumbling. And that's what Benaiah was. But he was capable. Some of us today would say the same, wouldn't we? We need to hold fast. Your Savior is here. Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah, lives in you. He's able to deliver you, to give you courage, to defeat the enemy that you're in the pit with right now. That is our God. Jesus Christ is in the pit before we ever go in. He's everywhere. When we answer his call to jump into the pit, he's answering our call to be our rescuer. All you need is faith. And so the fierce winds, the snow and the ice, the fierce battle conditions all lead to a fierce foe. I mean, it's bad enough you got all this stuff going on. Now you got a fierce foe. I mean, let's just understand, this is not that flea-bitten, scrawny, tawny little lion dude, man. That's malnourished and dying. I mean, if they're going to write about Benaiah killing the lion, it's a lion. Man, that's a big lion. Now, I don't know, and Scripture doesn't tell us if it's a male lion or a female lion. I don't really care. I think, quite honestly, if it's a female, you're at a disadvantage. Well, they were the hunters. Now, the men had a little bit more muscle mass, but them ladies, them lady lions, they were hunters. The guys just came and ate of the prey. But the simple fact is, it doesn't matter whether it was a male lion or a female lion. What matters is, this is no scrawny, tawny little lion. He's facing a formidable foe. And we face formidable foes in our life each and every day. You're out of a job. You've been terminated. You have no finances coming in. The outgo greater than the income. And all of those things happen. Doctor looks at you and says, the blood works back. It's not good news. Really, doc? For you, it probably is. You're going to get all the co-pays and all the monies and all the, you know. I mean, my gosh, golly gee. What are you complaining about, doc? You get to see me 3 times a week for the next year. Well, we don't choose that. But there it is. And that foe is formidable. It's not weak, it's not feeble, it's not malnourished, it's not flea infested. That's not the foes we face. We face real formidable foes that will take us down and leave us for dead in the end. And that's exactly what he was facing, a formidable foe that was willing to leave him dead. But this was a mighty man of valor. I'm suggesting to you today that there's people watching you just like there was people watching him. The only reason God considers you a mighty man or woman of valor is because he wants to show off his glory. This lion was strong. It was mean-spirited. It was downright nasty. It was a hungry little thing, I think. But didn't bother Benaiah one bit at all. He was willing to battle it. He took it on, and quite honestly, I think that's because he was used to taking on the best of the best all the time. You know, sometimes we get little problems of life, and we're good at fighting those. You know, Lord, I'll just let you deal with that. Okay, thank you, God. But when the big problems of life come, and we're good at dealing with that, don't think that kind of like resolves you from having to fight big problems. that just probably puts you into a bigger fight next time. Did I say that? Because it's called promotion. You're going to the next level. And God's going to use you in a greater way. When Benaiah got promoted to the captain of the king's guard, you don't think there were some of them dudes that were like, well, I was hoping for that promotion. That was my pay raise. I should have had that. You know, And he didn't have to deal with all that. Had to prove himself. Had to show. Had to go through a battle or two before they said, Benaiah, now I see why he was chosen. David was smart to do that. Yeah. And the same glory in your life is shown when you go through battles that are formidable and you overcome through the grace and the glory of God. The more formidable the foe, the greater the glory. I wouldn't have never asked for melanoma cancer. I certainly wouldn't have asked for it twice, much less four times. But yet God uses my life to bring faith, not only greater into my own life, but into the lives of many. Because up out of the ashes come the roses of success. And he is the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. There is a fragrance that comes from being in that patch of peace. And so, if I could have the worship team, and if you would stand with me, I just want to ask you today a couple of things. See, the Word of God tells us that David had 30 mighty men of valor, of which these three were notable from. There's more than 30 today. But it also says there was 300 mighty men of valor, of which that 30 came from. Of which the three came from. Of which the one, Benaiah, came from. I think there's room in God's kingdom for all of us to be mighty men and women of valor. It's whether or not we're willing to chase the lion. Benaiah could have went around the pit. But Benaiah chose to go in the pit. He was fully committed. I believe the reason Benaiah was named among all the 300, all the 30, and even the three as the one is because of his willingness to chase the lion. He was willing to chase it. I mean, come on, be careful chasing a lion. You just might get a lion by the tail. And that's going to be a fight. Any of people own cats, cat lovers? I mean, those little felines are just miniature lions in some ways, and some of them have an attitude, and they scratch and claw and do those things, and you try to pick them up, they, you know, cats, you know, they got an attitude. They're lovable, they're precious, they're pretty, they're fun to pet, but boy, if they don't want you around, they know how to swat or hiss or bite. Just imagine if you got a hold of a lion, just a little bigger kitty. Are you willing to chase a lion? Because defeat will take your death. Victory will mark you for life. See, when everybody else was sitting by the fire, Benaiah was out looking to do warfare. This was a snowy, icy day. What's he doing outside? Why don't you just sit at home in the palace, guarding the king? Why you got to even go out in this junk? Because sometimes God calls us to warfare. Pray. And all of a sudden there's a battle. We got to jump in. We got to make the choice. Are we all in or are we all out? Am I halfway committed or am I fully committed to this thing? David trained these mighty men of valor. They came on to him and he became a captain over them. He trained them. And today I just really want to be a shepherd over you, training you and telling you and showing you that you are the victor already. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Fear not. I have overcome. And we are the overcomers. David knew how to charge a giant. He didn't wait for Goliath to come to him, and Benaiah knew how to charge a lion. He didn't wait for a lion to jump out of the pit. Will you chase a lion today? Whatever your problem is, will you just chase it? Say, God, I'm not going to turn to the left or the right. I'm not going to turn my back on this. I'm going to embrace it in the fullness of what it is with the faith that you have given me. And I am going to kill that lion. We face the worst of enemies in the worst of places, in the worst of conditions. But hallelujah, our God is able to defeat our enemy. Who will stand in the pit? Who's willing to jump into the pit today? Who's willing to chase the lion? Because this altar right here is really our pit. This is where we chase the lion at. This is where you kill the beast. Because we give it too much power. It has none outside of what we give it. And today you can give it a death blow here at the altar. If you are willing to chase the lion, then I simply say to you today, come to this altar, chase that lion, defeat your enemy here.